Blog Talk Radio.
In a world where everyone is a social media guru, there is one lodestone, one brightest point in the sky, one true north. We have no idea where that is, but we've been here every Tuesday since August 2008, bringing you the absolute best and brightest guests from the world of social media and internet marketing. Welcome to Social Media Edge Radio. And now it's time to get this show on the commode. Here's your host, Ken Cook, and co-host Mike Mueller.
Man, you can say that again, Mike Mueller. Welcome to Social Media Edge. We got a slightly different format than we've had in the past. We're back to 30 minutes today, and I'm going to go ahead and tease the reason we're back to 30 minutes is if you've been a faithful listener, you know for the last several episodes, we have featured a segment near the end of the show called Rapid Fire. If a guest is on, we play Rapid Fire with the guest. If it's not, then Mike and I play it. But guess what, Mike Mueller?
What is that?
We're going to turn this into a game show segment, and the listeners are going to be able to play along. And you had a great idea. Why don't you tell them what you came up with about how they can play along on at least the first few Rapid Fires?
Well, okay, so to if you're listening, and here's the thing, if you're listening to the show, hopefully we love it when you listen live and join us in the chat room and all that kind of stuff, but at the same time we know, hey, you know what, we're all busy, you're going to listen to it later, and that's great, that's fine, it is what it is. But one of my thoughts was, we want this to be a contest. We want it to. We want people to see that we're having a contest and that kind of thing. So, if you're listening live, this is the best thing to win the prize, whatever prize that may be. You've got to tweet the answer, and of course, we're going to use Twitter because everything gets time stamped. And all you need to do is include a link to the show, the answer. Not in any particular order, but link to the show, the answer, and then, of course, our hashtag, which is SMEDGE, S-M-E-D-G-E.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, and you're going to have to listen to the show, too, because some of the answers in Rapid Fire, it's generally only four or five questions, but some of those answers are going to be derived from the first the show. So be sure to listen in next week. It's time for tool time. If you've listened before, you know that we have a featured tool every week. Mike, you've got something in there I've heard of, but I haven't heard of it in a while. Tell us what you've got.
You know, I rediscovered it recently. And so essentially, I'm going to say it's called, well, very simply, it's called Trello, Trello.com. You go and you get an account, and I got an account, I don't know when. I can't tell you when, and then never came back. But I found it because I'm looking for something that when I'm working on a client's website, I need, like, picture it this way. I saw somebody actually explain it this way. It's a huge, infinite-sized board of Post-it notes, and you can put it up anything you want on here in any specific order or what have you. And so when I'm working with clients, it's nice to give them a to-do list. It's nice to give them, hey, I need your, you know, your username and password for this, or I gave you this username and password for that, or, you know, all of these, the whole workflow of me building a website, I'm going to put it up on Trello and then be able to invite a client to that particular board, and they can interact with that board just like I can, and we can see all the changes, and it's very visual, but it's infinitely large.
So would this take the place of a whiteboard in a business setting, or would it be an augmentation to a whiteboard?
Well, I'm going to say it's going to be kind of like a digital, and I say a digital whiteboard in that, you theoretically, I guess you could probably draw and stuff and put a Post-it note of whatever you drew, but it isn't a whiteboard where you've got markers and you're going to town. You could just, you know, write anything. It's a little bit more easier for us linear folk, not artistic folk, to put up a stick-it note, a post-it note type thing, and create a list from that, or throw an image into that, or whatever I need as far as that goes. There's a lot of different things that this thing will do.
Gotcha. I have an account there. I just signed in. I'm guessing it was from 1968 or something. I actually, there's still some notes in there from some things I was working on. Had totally forgotten about it, but the timing is perfect because I don't know if the news has gotten around completely everywhere, but I just accepted a position as chief operations officer at a corporation here in the local area. So we have no whiteboards in the office, zero. CEO says,
congratulations.
I don't want whiteboards. Oh, thank you. CEO does not want whiteboards for some reason.
Huh.
There was a very conspicuous missing whiteboard in the conference room. So this will help because I live on whiteboards. So, yeah, Trello.com. And I noticed they do have some different versions available. You got a free one. That
right.
lets you have unlimited boards, list cards, members, checklists, attachments. That's awesome. One power-up
yeah.
board, whatever that is, and file attachments up to 10 megabytes. Yeah, you get the upgrade, you go to the team, you get a lot more stuff, and it actually interfaces with a couple of things that are important to me. Number one, GitHub, so I can keep my development team going while I'm doing this other thing. It also connects up with Google Drive, MailChimp, Slack. I use all that, Dropbox, file attachments.
There you go.
Yeah, good tip. My tool this week came about because I was having an issue. I use Notepad++, right? Love
okay.
it. Do a lot of coding in there. I change my code.
Yeah.
I edit code, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, PHP, whatever I'm working on. I edit it in Notepad++. But I was having a problem. I had downloaded I had been sent a .csv file, and I have created a cron, a PHP cron that takes that uploaded CSV file, which is uploaded as a .txt file, and pipes it into a SQL database, right? The thing
easy
is, they sent it to me in pipe. Delimited. Now, I know I'm speaking Greek to some of you, but a pipe is one of those little things on your keyboard that goes straight up and down. It's just above your enter key over the backslash key. And if you hit shift and type that, you make a pipe. Well, a comma, a CSV file, is a comma separated values, and a PDF is a pipe delimited file. I needed to convert this to a comma. So I needed to convert all of those pipes to commas. Simple enough, right?
Okay.
Open it up in Notepad,
yeah.
do find and replace. Find the pipes, replace it with comma. No.
There you go.
Got about the first 20,000 of them, and that was it. So there was over 400,000 of them. I'm not going to change them all by hand, you know, highlight and type. Not going to happen. So I went on the search. And I found over at this website called unitconversion.info, unit-conversion.info, replaced the text live online, did it immediately, just as fast as anything else, because I could have used, this is really going to be Greek, put on your Greek hat, I could have used one of the text editors like Nano or Pico that's on Linux systems. But I didn't want to take the time to upload it and do all that and stuff, so I changed it really fast. unitconversion.info/text tools/replace-text. Or if you just Google unit conversion text replacement, it was a great tool. Super fast, easy to use. I was good with it.
Interesting.
And guess how much it costs?
Our favorite number. It's free.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. Thanks. Have a nice day. See you later. Bye. No. Actually, just kidding. We're going to take a little short break, and when we get back, we're going to decide what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show. Does that sound fair to all the listeners? Of course it does.
Yeah, let's take a vote.
We'll be right back.
Frustrated with your website? Can't get it to look right or work right? Think it's too expensive to hire a real development company to quickly turn things around? Think again. For as little as $35, Ken Cook will investigate and often correct issues with your website. With over 20 years of web coding experience, he'll quickly identify your challenges and help keep the costs and time to a minimum. Many jobs can be completed the same day. Regardless of where your site is hosted, what platform it's developed on, or what framework is used, contact Ken today at thekencook.com. And instead of working for your website, make it work for you.
Hey, this is Mike Mueller, and in case you didn't know, when I'm not co-hosting the show, I'm busy building websites for small businesses just like yours. But you know what? I do it a little differently than most web developers. First of all, I don't farm anything out. And secondly, I build what you want, not what I think you should have. And I don't just build a website, I don't just throw a template at it and call it a day. I ask you some very specific questions about your business and the goals of the website, and then I build a unique system that fits your needs. And that's something no other web developer does. Check out areweconnected.com/smedge for more details and a special bonus just for you, our listeners.
Special bonuses just for you, our listeners.
Just for you.
We love it. Hey, Mike, have you ever been bullied?
Yeah.
Ever in your life?
I'm going to say I have. I think I've kind of blocked it out, but I think I definitely was, because I was not the biggest, strongest, most popular kid in school, elementary, mm-hmm. middle, high school.
Mm-hmm. So back then, you may have been bullied a little bit.
I was.
I was bullied, yeah, definitely. I think everybody mm-hmm. that I grew up with was bullied, because we made sure to bully each other. It was,
yeah.
We didn't know who the bully of the day was, but one of us was going to bully the other ones. Mm-hmm. It just kind of made us tougher, you know. So now that you're grown up, you're over 25, I think, and you run a business, and you help people that run businesses. You ever seen a business? Let's talk about online. We could talk about television, too, but let's talk about online in the social sphere, in the blogging sphere. Mm-hmm. Do businesses ever get bullied?
Oh, very much so. Very
yeah.
much so.
Happens all the time. It even happens in television and radio commercials when one competitor calls out another competitor. It's not always bullying, but sometimes it certainly is. And what about this? Do businesses ever bully customers or prospects?
And that happens as well. And you know what I'm gonna say? So we got B2B, we got businesses bullying other businesses, we've got businesses bullying mm-hmm. customers. I'm also gonna say a huge thing. I see a lot of customers or clients or whatever you want to call them bullying businesses. That's huge. I see a lot of it.
Mike, I sent you a link the other day after our show, because we had talked about 5-star ratings on our show and how important it
mm-hmm.
is to get 5-star ratings. Do you remember what that link was about?
I'm a bearer of very little brain. You're going to have to remind me.
That's okay. It was a link to a Yelp page for a internet
yeah.
service provider that provides internet to apartment dwellers. So
yep.
The company, and I won't say their name, but you can go over to Yelp and do a search for DirectPath, DireCPath, Atlanta, and read this. I don't know that that's bullying, but I would assume that if you have 60 reviews and they're all 1-star,
yeah, wow,
there's something going on. So I bring that up because it is possible for a business or a person to go over to, say, Fiverr.com or any
mm-hmm.
website like it. No dunning
yeah.
on Fiverr. Love Fiverr. I've done many, many jobs through Fiverr. You can go over there. And you can hire
mm-hmm.
people from another planet for 10 cents a piece, 5 cents a piece, to go to your competitors' review sites and place bad reviews. I would call that business bullying. Would you not?
Oh, that's very much so. And guerrilla warfare in not a good way.
Right. Yeah, not like the guerrilla marketing from some of the guests that we've had on the show talking about guerrilla marketing. It's a little bit different than that. So here's the big question. If that is happening to you, and let's use that as an example. You know that you have a review page out there and you actually have 300% more reviews than you've had customers. Well, it's obvious what's going on.
Yeah.
What would you, Mike Mueller, do in that case?
Ooh, well, it kind of depends on where this is at. So if it's on Yelp, you have almost very little control as far as that. Apply publicly to each one of them. You can buy into Yelp. Yelp makes it very easy for you to be, blackmailed into paying them.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can hide reviews, so you can, and I'm not a big fan of Yelp, but I think they started out as a wonderful process, a wonderful service kind of thing. So you can kind of hide, you can kind of turn around and you can, and Yelp, by the way, if somebody leaves one review, Yelp is not going to show that necessarily on the page because they're not a regular Yelper. If they all of a sudden show up and they leave, 50, they're not going to show up. So if you're a regular Yelper and you've been logging into Yelp and you've been reviewing restaurants on a regular basis, it's okay if you leave a bad restaurant review. They're going to show it on the front page because you're a regular Yelper. So there is a little algorithm that happens there kind of to protect against this. But realistically, on that particular platform, there's not much you can do except respond and say, to each one of them, hey, this did not happen, or this is not how we work, or what have you. Do your best response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a small business, you probably recognize all of your customers by name. I would simply say, I don't recall anyone by your name having done business with us, nor do I have anyone in our records. If you would like to call us and reveal your true identity, we'd be more than
there
happy
you go
to work with you. There's so many different things you could do. And actually, what I had said last week on the show about a bad review on Yelp is I would let Yelp know in no uncertain terms, I'm going to defend my brand. And if you're the reason I'm having a problem with my brand reputation, I'm coming after you. And I have a feeling that more often than not, they'll just, instead of, because they know they're going to lose in certain cases, they'll just take care of that for you. So what happens, though, Mike, when, and we've got examples of it. We've had where someone left a bad review either on Facebook or one of these things, and, man, it just really got into the deep, dark psyche of a business owner. And instead of doing the right thing, they just literally went after the commenter, bullying the commenter for trying to help them out.
Sure. Well, the first Amy's Baking Company review was probably just like that.
Somehow knew that was going to come up today. I'm sure it was. As a user, you probably don't have a lot of recourse except for to share that with the rest of the world and let them see how that person responds. In person, I've had something happen twice. Will not make that mistake again. Shared it on social media both times. I needed a part for a lawnmower. Well, there's a large mower service and repair company just right up the street. Very large. It's a big, big building. And they've got the signs all over the thing that shows the brands that they carry and all of those things. And I've walked in there twice. People were extremely rude. I don't know why this happens, but I've seen it happen in small motor repair shops more than any other kind of shop. Very rude to me. right off the front. I mean, not paying any attention to me, finally looked at me and said, "What do you need?" Literally with that tone of voice. So the last time I went in, I stood right there and tweeted right from their showroom floor, tweeted their names and the location of the business and how I was being treated. And I come to find out other people from the area saw that tweet and shared the sentiment. I don't think I was being a bully. I think I was leveraging the power of social media to express my disgruntlement.
Yeah,
but what if I just kept on? What if I went over to Buffer and I scheduled a tweet a day to tweet how bad that business is? Am I breaking any laws?
Well, I don't think you're breaking any laws. I may be wrong, but I don't think you're breaking any laws because I see it happen all the time. But you're definitely being a dickhead.
I can accept that. I can accept that. So from a personal user standpoint, I guess there's a part where you can go too far and you can cross that line from being a disgruntled customer to actually being a bully. So how would a business respond? So let's say that I call you up and I go, "Mike, man, this guy, he's every day he's going on my Facebook page and he's, I didn't service him the way that I normally would service a client. He had a legitimate beef. I tried to take care of it. He keeps coming back. And now he's on my Twitter and he's even been over to Google Plus. You know, how am I going to deal with that?"
I have to tell you, I got to share a absolutely true story that just irked me to no end. Being a bicyclist, there is a very well-known in our circle real estate, professional, who is a active and very avid bicyclist, road bike, because they do triathlons and that kind of thing. Well, out on a training day, and bicycles, by the way, somewhere along the line, went from being inexpensive, wonderful, you know, cheap little things. I don't know if they still make those, they're like the cost of a small car. And so either way, she was riding along and through no fault of the bike or anything, she was riding in a Peloton, which is a group of people really close. You've seen it on TV. And when the person in front of you goes down, you go down because there's not enough reaction time. Well, there was a little bit of a pile up, and somebody ended up in a ditch, and somebody cracked a very expensive carbon frame. Well, what this person did, because she had so much social media pull, this is a couple of years ago, started this campaign of like 5-10 times a day, tweeting, videoing, Facebook. She'd get all of her friends to retweet. Both, she found the Twitter address of the owner and the bicycle shop or the bicycle manufacturer Twitter account, including all of those, and really blackmailed. All she was doing was just asking for, "Hey, I want a new bike. You know, I'm for absolutely free. Give me a new bike." And this is totally on. Yeah. If I crash my car, I'm going to say, "Hey, can I get a new car?" Yeah. And you know what happened in the end?
I bet she didn't get a bike.
She did.
What?
They finally caved because it was relentless. And the bike owner finally caved and provided a complete brand new bicycle.
Oh, my goodness. So bullying worked.
To the tune of about $10,000.
My, that's a very interesting story. I kind of followed when that was going on because you'd mentioned it a couple of times in social. But I didn't know any of the rest of that story. Probably something you didn't want to let out at the time. that's actually almost a little concerning because I don't know if that was squeaky wheel or if that was just somebody really pushing bullying to the edge. Yeah, interesting lesson in how that could... how that could happen. So let's talk about this very quickly for the kind of novice social media person. You know, I don't know if I have a good antenna, but I can generally sense when somebody's being a little bit over the edge before it gets out of hand. So I try to appease people in the beginning, or occasionally I know it's coming and there's nothing I can do about it. I boot them. They're gone.
Yeah.
What could go wrong in that situation?
Well, you get the negative repercussions from that particular person who, hey, why'd you out me? Why am I gone?
Mm-hmm.
And then come back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, you might boot them off your page or off of your Facebook page or block them on Twitter, but that doesn't stop them from going on. So that's actually going to exacerbate or stands a reasonable chance of exacerbating the situation. We've talked about it so many times. I don't even know that we need to bring it back up, but deal with it. Deal with it. At that point, it's already in the public, right? So deal with it in the public. You know, let's use the bicycle thing for an example. You might have been able to crowdsource that. Okay, we're going to hold people's court right here and ask the people if they think that the right thing to do is for us to replace your bicycle. Let the people decide. That way you're getting a little bit more exposure. You're not doing the right or wrong thing yet. What other situation might you be able to use something like that in? People's court.
Well, I like that idea as far as that goes. I'm going to say most, it's a tough one because at the same time, you know, if it was something that you did and it is legit, as far as that goes, you messed up or provided faulty service or what have you. Airing it out in people's court kind of also, you know, shines a spotlight on your possible error, which, of course, it's a learning experience. We can learn from it. We can improve. We can get better. But it's also not something that most businesses are going to want to share. You know, they're not going to want that light on that particular part of their business.
I would agree. I think you have to be judicious in it. Okay, so with our new format, we're bumping up on time that we should be playing rapid fire right now. Now, what I've done during the show, I've actually just made a few notes. So here would be some of the kind of questions that you might face in at the end of the show. We'll ask a question, and then you'll answer it over on Twitter using the hashtag SMEDJ and rapid fire. So the first question would be, why did Ken need a text replacement tool? Mike, do you remember why I needed a text replacement tool?
Yes, because it was a pipe delimited file as opposed to a CSV.
Perfect. So what you would do over in Twitter is to say replace pipes with commas or anything that even closely resembles what I said. The next question would be, does Mike use whiteboards in his office? I'll answer that one. I have no idea. Well, we didn't ask you. It's unknown.
I don't have room.
Maybe he, but he uses Trello. And then what irked Mike about bicycling? That wasn't really about bicycling, but it was the constant complaining of a bicyclist that finally got rewarded for harassing, harassing the purveyor until they got a new bike. And then the last one would be,
it was
what
bullying.
Bullying. Okay, it was bullying. What's Ken's new corporate position?
Ooh, you know, you said it so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know. COEO.
That's close. Chief of Operations. It was. You actually probably could have scored on that. So that's how we're going to play. And here's the good news. There are going to be prizes. Did you hear that, Mike?
Yay! Prizes.
They're going to be prizes. We'll announce those sometimes during the week. So it's time to say bye, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
Thanks for listening to yet another edition of Social Media Edge Radio with your host, Ken Cook, and co-host, Mike Mueller. Stay on top of what's happening by visiting socialmediaedge.com.
And all always, thank you, Kevin MacLeod, for the great music. We cut it back to 30 minutes. And now I got to fly out of here and go up this way.
You're good, have you?
I would think so.
What did he say he was going to tie into that hip loop? It's going to have a two-story, so he's going to have to build the ridge on over, but into the house, then just run patching down.
That's it.
Both sides.
Yep.
Yep. That's the only way to know. Bring that ridge line on over. Put the hip on that. Let's see. Looks like he's got a front gable on this thing. I don't understand this. There's a lot of them.
He's got the beacon.
Yeah, that's the way that's fit. That's the existing house. That's that little entry. There's going upstairs. Then you fit here.
I don't know what will happen. I know if we don't do it.
That's what I will happen.
Average value of the house is about $350,000. So, and 40% of them are 20 years old. So.
Yeah. Young money, too. Young money don't stay at home, it goes out.
I was suggesting. New driveway. They don't tear it up, put down gravel.
What'd you do? You put down a sponge it through the grout. How'd you do that?
No, so we plant along.
Oh, you did the house.
We washed it off. Yeah. I was putting on the sample pictures. Another one up there. I just wanted a border around there. It's like a flagstone border. Get that antique from it.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I want to. I want to push the iron. But, yeah.
Sure. This right here. Got to go back and get some good pictures of this pool deck. We poured the base to it. The rock guys. We told them that whole pool deck. And that's just a picture.
Did you do the rock or something else?
Oh, we did. You did. We got a breaking rock crew. He's working. That gets you some good pictures.
Yeah, that's what we want to show. We don't want to show the low end stuff just.
Everything
over there. There's a drain field back there, but I don't know. It's down on that lower level. I would think. It's kind of a big thing. Dripple seems now, but.
No, county was super up here.
Back in the 7th. Fourth line.
There's a field line about halfway down that driveway right there.
Yeah.
See that clean out?
That is the noise.
That's the anemone.
But we don't have that farm.
on that other.
Hate those things.
Yep. Pretty sure sewer's been out here since this late 60s. Was that long? Was that short ago? Well, not only that, you look at old. You look at old airplanes coming out there. Yeah, I guess.
Green
field. But if they're not using it anymore, it shouldn't be green.
Oh,
well. Oh, wow.
Okay. I know we just drove in one more time and it pressed and the truck fell in it. So it's kind of going to be at the rental property from there, and then I had them put it on that you could drive on top of when they're replacing it. Probably I didn't even call you.
Had a window delivery truck find one, and the walls were built out of brick. The top. Yep.
Yeah.
The walls were brick. There's two layers of brick, and the top was full of concrete. But
that was a do-it-yourself. Somebody wanted to have
the house was built in '53. So.
Cliff, they had systems like state. They had like an outhouse, but the cistern thing
came
raining water.
Oh, real drinking. Yeah.
Okay. It was a lot of fun. It worked nice. It's a little house that way up. They got big old 300 gallon container.
Who is this?
Hawaii.
Oh.
It was close by there.
Right down the street.
All right, you talked from Hangham Road yesterday. Yeah. $784.08.
I don't know. We're not. Telling right now, I'm being damn close to this cat. Yeah, it looks like it could have been back as far as 465.
Honestly.
and they don't want to go. Well, I say this.
Hey, sweetheart.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Hey, good to see you again. So, question.
I'm not sure. Like, it's all similar to that haunt. I was hoping that same thing that left side is gone on, I can say, because the people that had the house before that would have known it was such a thing to have been gone for years. And they connected them to the fear. He's full of fullness. He's on his side. I mean, they're close. I just want to see if they see him. They left here some stuff so they could visualize what he's trying to do and all the things we can be there and everything. Kind of visualize what he's doing. And if he's trying to put a step in, I want to take people back and on, play things out, and put one thing. Who that is, not yet to talk to him, waiting.
That's, well, that's light, but that same kind of iron that comes from that.
Thank you.
just trying to take place.
Well, what I would do is, at this point, based on what I'm hearing, they could really put the dog, put a dog face. I'll just go down, doesn't affect it, just have a